The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 247. I hope all is well with you. I'm doing very well myself, and I'm pretty excited to bring you this episode, as it's somewhat connected to a previous episode. If you go back into the archives of the PVD cast and you go back just about a month and a half ago to the middle of June, on episode 239, I chatted with a filmmaker by the name of Antonio Hernandez. And Antonio had two projects that he was working on, a film series called Indelible, and then kind of a standalone project called South Side Suplex. And that South Side Suplex project featured the story of Trish Adora, an upcoming pro wrestler out of the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. And Trish is joining me to tell her story and to talk to me all about professional wrestling, from her fandom growing up to how going into the military maybe helped her when she decided to go into professional wrestling, to even a great and very thoughtful episode of Tag Feud or Job. I really mean this. I'm going to compliment Trish, as you'll hear in our conversation. She took it very seriously, Tag Feud or Job. And that shows me that she is very thoughtful and she just doesn't want to do some type of half-baked answer for Tag Feud or Job. But I'm so happy that you got a chance to sit down and chat with me. So let's not waste any time. Let me get to a couple of miscellaneous items and then let's get right on into my conversation with Trish. And one of those things that I need to let you know about, one of those loose ends, so to speak, is the fact that this episode is brought to you by the great sponsor of World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics from every single era. It doesn't matter. From the golden era clear on up to the modern era, they have all the books that you need. But they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, back issues, posters, you name it, they got it for your fandom. So stop on over to the store and say hi to the fine folks over there at World's Greatest Comics, or you could check them out online if you like. Just go to wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook, just search for at WG Comics. And that other loose end I referred to is the fact that the PVD cast can be heard every single Monday night at 9:30 live on Red Line Radio LLC. That's right. This internet radio station out of Cleveland has tons of great music, tons of great shows. You need to be checking out Red Line Radio LLC. And there's a couple different ways you can do that. First off, you can visit their website, www.redlineradiollc.com. Or you can go over on Facebook, visit their Facebook page, which is under the title of Red Line Radio LLC. They even have an app if you are an Android phone user. Just go over to the Google Play Store, look for Redline Radio LLC, click it, download it, and you could take the station with you wherever you go. And I really mean this. The station is just expanding, adding more shows, adding more content. You don't want to be left behind. You need to start listening if you're not already doing so. So once again, check out redlineradiollc.com. And that's a great gateway to get you to the station so you can hear the PVD cast and all of the other great shows and all of the great music on that great internet radio station. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back with my conversation with Trisha Dora. All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining me this afternoon is Trish Adora. Trish, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm going to ask the question that unfortunately I have been asking every single guest since the middle of March. How is the COVID situation in Washington, D.C., where you're based?
We're on pretty strict lockdown. In somewhat of a phase two, phase three situation. There are a couple of restaurants that are opening with like outdoor seating. There's some gyms in Maryland that are opening. So just they're inching forward, but I don't know. I largely don't feel ready.
I think there's lots of us that do not feel very ready to go back to normal. And I know I just use air quotes, this is an audio podcast, but air quotes, normal, end quote. How did you get started in this wonderful world of professional wrestling?
Yeah, so I have five brothers. I'm the only girl. And so growing up, they always watched wrestling with my dad. And so it was just kind of what we did. So we all just gathered around and watch wrestling. And then over time, you would just grow to get infatuated too. I just remember some of my earlier memories being of like that smoky ring and that WCW, you hear that sound in the mat, and it's just like I associate that with some of my earliest memories. So very fond memories, of course, but that's how I got started, at least just my love, at least. And over time, you're like, all right, I'm gonna be a wrestler when I get older. You and all your friends are gonna say that, and then I don't know, you kind of grow out of that, I guess. But I never really did, but I ended up joining the Army when I was 19, and I did a tour in Afghanistan in 2012. And I remember once I got home, I was kind of like, all right, so it felt like something that I did for others. I never really felt like there was anything that I did for myself because I wanted to do it. And I was like, man, what would happen? What would happen if I just like did it? What's the worst thing that was going to happen? So I started doing a little bit of research. At the end of my term, literally like 30 days later, I packed up everything, rented a car, and I drove down to Florida. And a really funny story. I don't know how intricate you want me to get.
Sure, go ahead.
So I planned to go to a different wrestling school, but it was a little too expensive for me. And all I had was, all I had was like $2,000. And I was like, when you're out on your own, $2,000 is gone very quickly. So I definitely didn't have enough to start. So I got a job working at Vans, and it was getting ready for like the Black Friday season and things like that. So they were doing this whole, everybody stand up and say a thing about yourself, right? And so everybody stands up. Oh, I hate that. Oh, that's like the worst. I'm so socially, so my throat's just closing as it like comes to me. But a young lady stands up and is like, hey, I'm training to be a wrestler. And I'm like, what? And so, yeah, that was
wow.
Super random. I know. And so I couldn't believe that. And I'm like, well, I'm definitely talking to her after this. So, after all that is over with, I go and I chat with her, and she's like, yeah, I go to Team 3D Academy. And I'm just like, the Dudley Boys have a wrestling school? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, here in like this area. And she's like, yeah, it's about like 30, 40 minutes away. And I was just like, what? And so we just completely like, I couldn't even believe how that just kind of materialized, or how that happens sometimes. So I took that as a sign and I was like, yeah.
All this going through my mind is that I could just see that circle and she goes, I'm training to be a wrestler. And you're like, wait.
Yeah, talk. Excuse me.
Yeah. So going back real quick to your story of how you became a fan, was your dad like a longtime fan? Had he been watching for years and years?
Yes, years and years. At every like family gathering and stuff, like at every like cookout or stuff, there'll be everybody hanging out outside, and inside they'll be wrestling on for the kids, and we would all just like sit and watch wrestling. It would kind of like, it would kind of materialize like that, so.
Do you know, do you recall who some of the favorites were of your dad?
He was so, he loved like energy. He was very like high energy. So the Ultimate Warrior and like Randy Savage, very like flashy outlet, very much of, you know, that era, the 80s and whatnot. So they're a very, he liked those larger than life characters. He definitely liked, Jim Duggan. Unfortunately, a Hulk Hogan fan, but, you know, there it goes.
Who are some of your favorites when you were watching?
Some of my favorites. I'm very, very much a child of that era. So, of course, Diamond Dallas Page. I love Jacqueline, Sting. All of the women wrestlers, honestly. I was just very enamored that that was even happening in front of me. It's almost like I didn't understand that that was possible until you just see people doing it. And you're like, yeah. And, you know, they were all white. And I was kind of like, okay, I just accepted that. And then saw Jacqueline. I'm like, wait a minute. All right. This is interesting now. Okay. This is cool. I might be able to do this. What's going on here? You know? So that's kind of how those seeds are planted. It's, that's just goes to show how important representation is, things like that. So some of my favorites.
If I can ask about your decision to go to the Army, was that because you had relatives that had gone in, or did you feel like this is an opportunity to give back to other people, or why did you decide at 19 to go into the military, if I may ask?
Well, honestly, I've shared this reason before. It definitely felt like what I sort of had to do next. I had gone to college for a year and I played rugby for a year, and everything just kind of like, it just sort of bottomed out, you know, and I was sort of stuck. I didn't really know what my next steps were. I was waiting tables, actually. And one of my coworkers, I'd gone in the kitchen, you know, just frustrated as usual, about as frustrated as you can be at a waitressing job, honestly. And so he said, hey, do you want to join the Army with me? That's literally what he said. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm 19 at that age. And, you know, about as much as I knew about what the armed forces were, I was like, I couldn't be sure that's for me. But, you know, he had planted that seed, and maybe like a few months later, you know, we're still working together, blah, blah, blah. And he just keeps bringing it up. And then he finally gets a recruiter's number, and he's like, hey, you know, this is and this is that. And then he started to explain some of the benefits, you know, they would pay for schooling. You know, I knew that was a problem for me, you know, coming into it. So it was a very benefits based decision. A lot of people share that as well.
I remember growing up, I had several relatives who kind of, for lack of a better term, were lost, so to speak.
Yes.
College wasn't for them. You know, they didn't have any marketable skills. And you know, they go in, and I have one cousin that loved it. As soon as he got in and the structure the Air Force gave him, he loved it. He stayed for 20 years and retired. And I definitely, the military is an admirable situation, or an admirable opportunity for people to serve, you know, the and protect us. But it's also a great way to kind of try to, for lack of a better term, find yourself at times.
Yes. I needed the structure, honestly. I definitely need the structure. One of the most useful things that I've learned, honestly, is how to make your bed. And I know that sounds so, people are like, oh, how to make your bed, huh? And I'm like, honestly, yeah, it's the start of your day. Every single day, you get a whole new 24, fresh slate. We start over and we make our bed.
And that's the first accomplishment.
Right. That's the first step. Make your bed. You're set for the day. You know,
there you go.
It's almost like that proverbial bag of laundry you keep on your bed, you know, and now you're working around the laundry because you don't want to deal with it yet. Now you're sleeping around the laundry and you get up, you'll get to it later. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like that in a sense where it's like you make your bed. So that's one of the more helpful lessons I've learned.
So was there one thing that you learned in the Army that you carried over to pro wrestling?
Yes. Camaraderie. Honestly, mm-hmm. That's very important, being able to like trust other people, you know, and the way you need to trust someone, you know, in the Army, it's a little different than the way you need to trust someone in pro wrestling, but hey, trust is trust, honestly. And you know, it all spins the same, right? So
yeah.
Yeah. You just have to learn how to not, it's never a one man show, you know? And a lot of times growing up, I was just like, okay, I can just do this myself. I don't need anybody's help. If I, you know, I feel burdened with asking or feel uncomfortable. And it's like, you got to learn the hard lesson of, you know, being able to accept help, mm-hmm. you know? So being able to lean on others, being able to trust other people to have your back and trust yourself to be able to, you know, come through when you're needed. So.
Was there one thing or one move that gave you trouble while you were training? Because I know that oftentimes from sitting in the OCW wrestling school here in Ohio, you would watch some guys and there's just sometimes, maybe it's the arm drag, they can't get that down, or maybe it's the moonsault and it's just looking ugly. You know, was there one move or one thing that you had to learn that just gave you a lot of trouble?
Yeah, it's just, honestly, it's really just a concept of just being able to like, and another thing, just trust too. It's, there's a move called the high cross body and you'll be jumping and pretty much launching yourself into another person and being able to just trust and just throw yourself and just really go is very, there's some footage of me making some early attempts and, I don't want the footage leaked is all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. We'll strike that from the record. Matter of fact, never mind that I even said that. I'll speak that up. But, you know, and one day you just kind of, you kind of look at yourself doing it and it just clicks one day. And then you just start to just go. And you start to just throw yourself and you start to just completely surrender yourself to, you know, the move and trust that your opponent will be there. Trust that you're going to be there and usually goes right through.
So with the high cross body that you were just talking about, how would you describe your in the ring style? Would it be one that uses a lot of aerial maneuvers like the high cross body or something a little more simplistic and more say ground and pound style? How would you describe it for the listeners at home?
I would definitely, consider myself more of a ground and pound. I do have some aerial moves in my arsenal. I've definitely been in my bag since the quarantine, so there'll be some new interesting tricks that I can't wait to show you all. But traditionally, yes, I more of a ground and pound. Definitely, there's lariats like the Lariat Tubman, and you know, there's right.
That is awesome. The Lariat Tubman. That is fantastic. That's the best name of a move I've heard in years. That is fantastic. I mean.
But so Lariat Tubman, you know, there's more of a mafia kick, which is more of a bicycle kick. So there's just a more simplicity that I like to use. But you know, I'm down for a surprise or two. I don't mind. You might see me on the top rope one of these days soon. So
when you mentioned you were kind of working on some things during quarantine, are you like going through some ideas in your, like, have you moved everything out of the living room and you're kind of, you know, at night kind of trying some new ideas and whatnot?
The pillows have been laid down. Okay. I built a whole fort. All right. I have a whole situation here. All right. No, but, but yes, I am, practicing, certain things, what I can honestly at home. And pretty soon there'll be some situations where training would be allowed in more like smaller groups, like a four group or like, you know, and just things like that. So there are some things that will be able to be maneuvered somewhat within the confines of safety, of course, but I'm definitely hoping to have access to a ring very soon.
And one thing we did talk about off air that maybe I will mention for our listeners is that DC, much like Ohio, not really opening up for MMA or boxing or pro wrestling. The commissions have kind of said not yet, as opposed to some other states who've already gone back to full action. But DC is certainly one of those ones still playing a little bit cautious.
Yes. DC is this whole, I feel like I've been in the area that's been the most cautious, you know. I've only left DC one time since quarantine, and just being in another area and just seeing how other people and how other places are handling it, I'm just kind of like, oh, so I live in the place. Not, I mean, you know, for lack of a better word, it almost, I don't want to say that cares more, but you know what I mean. They're just being overly cautious and they're baby stepping it, and they're just, you know, and DC is a high tourist area too. So it's just one of those things where it just depends on where you are, maybe, but still precautions, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Well, the next couple of questions I have link to Antonio Hernandez's short film called Southside Suplex. It's a documentary about your journey in professional wrestling. It's available on YouTube, by the way, listeners, so go over and check it out, Southside Suplex. But in that documentary, there is a small section that deals with your winning the Pan-African World Diaspora Championship. And you talk in the documentary about how it made you feel. So for the listeners here, could you just maybe take us back to that night? Because it was late February, early March?
It was February 15th.
Okay, February 15th. Okay. Yeah. So going back into that time frame, how was that for you? How does it feel to be given that opportunity to be that champion?
It felt like such a full circle moment, you know? There was a lot of, honestly, I really battled a lot of insecurities of my own throughout, you know, my own career, and just trying to figure it out and just, you know, see where I could belong and just continuing to trust. It's just kind of been a theme of my life. So just feeling like there was a night where I knew from this night on that it would be easier. You know, it's like, I knew that once I won, that it was a personal victory too. Mm-hmm. It felt like I finally trusted. I finally let myself go. I finally accepted energy from others. You know, I saw people in the crowd that, you know, got invested in me over the course of the night. There were three matches over the course of the night. So, you know, they got to see me grow. Honestly, that was like years worth of a story, honestly, in front of people in real time. And it felt like electricity almost. It was just a crazy feeling. I got chills right now just talking about it. But it just, I could honestly look into the eyes of people in the audience and make eye contact, you know. That's such a good feeling. There's a young girl that looked like me, and it felt like I could be her Jacqueline, you know?
Yeah.
That she was there and saw me, and who knows what she can do with what she just saw. She understands that she can do it now, whatever that it is. And just having that happen in front of, you know, a lot of people that I care about, especially Johnny Cross. He's the founder of Fight Club Pro Wrestling, who held the Pan-African World Diaspora Tournament. We deployed together in Afghanistan. I've known him for over 10 years.
Oh, really? Know?
Yes. And so we would sit and we would have conversations about what if, you know, oh, wrestling, what if? And so to have that moment that night, it was just, he was the first face I saw.
Yeah, and I think too, when you have that personal connection with the fans, because obviously in the documentary, the fans erupted, and they were into it, and that's what you want as a performer. You want that type of reaction, one way or the other. And you know, I think that shows a lot of or gives a lot of credit to you as a performer that you managed to hook those people and keep them invested, you know, throughout the night until you reach that apex where you won the title?
It was just like a deafening moment almost. It's like you can't hear anything, but you hear everything. It's just, it's so, I felt stronger than I ever did. Honestly, I thought like I could power bomb another guy, you know, if I needed to, you know, I could, you know, I could jump farther if I needed to, I could hit harder if I needed to. It was crazy. I can't even explain it to you.
And you had family at the show, did you not?
I did. Yeah, I did.
How was their reaction?
My mother, she was there. My mother and my uncle. My uncle had not seen me live, and it was one of the first times, you know, that he really got to like experience it all. And, you know, he grew up, you know, with my dad as well, and he was very much invested in wrestling. So to just see him like get so ridiculous, you might even be able to see him in some of the clips, just so excited and so invested. I was so like, it felt good. It felt good, you know, it's hard. Or maybe not. Sometimes it is, you know, for others, I couldn't say. But for me, sometimes, you know, it's just hard to kind of, there are a couple times along the wrestling trail where you're like, oh, is it worth this? And, you know, you just think about all the driving you have to do and, you know, how much, you know, you're getting paid and things like that. There's just a lot to, and how much you ache and how much you hurt and things like that. There's a lot of things to consider. There's a lot of little detractors that question your drive on the way, and to be able to show my mom, hey, this is what I've been doing with my time. You know, this is why I've been gone all week. And these are all the fruits of my labor. And to see her get excited too, like super excited.
Yeah. You know? I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Trish for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they're a great sponsor of the PBD Cast, and they're also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, posters, back issues, and one heck of a pull system. So if you've ever feared that you might miss a single issue of your favorite comic book, just sign up for their pull system and you never have to worry about it ever again. So check them out online at wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook. Just look for @WGComics. Or if you're in the area, stop by the store at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, on the PBD Cast. One thing you mentioned is the soreness and the aches and pains. You haven't had any injuries, have you?
No injuries. Knock on wood. I've been very grateful. You know, a couple aches, a couple pains, you know, but you just try to keep stretching, you know, and do what you can. Make sure you get the little things checked out before they become the big things, you know. Mm-hmm. That's really the most important thing that I'm learning on the way, on this journey.
One thing that when I talked to Antonio about his series Indelible and the Southside Suplex episode, one of the things that he kind of mentioned to me, and I believe off air, was that he didn't get an opportunity to touch base on intergender wrestling. So if I may, I'm going to ask real quick, but I'd like to define for listeners. And if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know what intergender wrestling is, I don't know. What are you doing? Why are you? Anyways, but I digress. Intergender wrestling is a format of wrestling where you have a female competitor taking on a male competitor, sometimes in tag matches, sometimes one-on-one. Is there a difference on how you work an intergender bout versus maybe when you're in the ring with a female competitor?
Sometimes, well, I mean, as of lately, I think people are sort of examining the word intergender and trying to make sure that it's as inclusive as possible. There are a lot of people that are non-binary and things like that. So sometimes hearing the word intergender, it just kind of puts, you know, two things in your head, one versus one in that way. So, that's just, you know, something I wanted to say out loud here if I could. As far as working, I want to put this the best way possible here. Sure. So when you're putting things together, it just makes sense to think about your individual strengths and how they relate to the person across from you. So every single match would be different, you know? Oh, yeah. It's not really, So there are a lot of people that are saying that intergender, they don't really believe it per se. And I think that it would be very smart to dissect the psychology of what you can do in an intergender or in those types of matches in ways that'll make them as digestible and, you know, to seem as real as possible. I would like to think that I did that on February 15th. I think that a lot of, you know, people are doing that in very, you know, smart ways to their own personal gimmicks and things like that.
I mean, the bottom line, and you know, and I've heard the controversy that you mentioned, you know, lots of people say, well, it's not believable. Look, any match is believable. It doesn't matter who's in the match. If you put some thought behind it and it maps out and it makes sense. Doesn't matter the type of match, whether it's, you know, as we said, intergender, if it's a death match, if it's a steel cage match, if it's a regular one-on-one match, if it makes sense, I think the fans will get behind it no matter what.
Yeah, like there's Rey Mysterio versus Big Show. Like there's ways to make that believable as mm-hmm. You know, that you can absolutely suspend your, you know, and sit there and enjoy that and accept that, you know, mm-hmm. it's the way you have it set up. And it's kind of how you, you know, like with Jacqueline and Crash Holly, you know, there's a way to set that up. There's a way to make that click and make that digestible and understandable in a mm-hmm. way where a male competitor won't feel slighted by what he would have to do or what that would mean because he would have to wrestle a female mm-hmm. competitor.
Would you have any advice for anybody that wants to get into wrestling?
Yes.
What listeners don't know is the look on your face was like, oh yeah, I do. I got plenty. Look was priceless.
It's what I didn't know before I started. I did not know that it would cost a lot of your own money up front. You know, it does. It takes a while. Not even a while, but considering how much you'd have to pay for training and how long you'd be training for and then maybe initial shows, how much you'd be making and how much you would have to put in to maybe get gear made and things like that and start to get merch made. It's like once you start to think about all of those, it's on you to put a lot of that up front, you know? So it's just mm-hmm. something to think about, maybe just have a little something set aside just to kind of ease that on yourself. Because financially, like, I feel like the first year, everybody's first year is probably just like, I could say that my first year, my first 2.5 years were very, I had to learn to swim very quickly, put it that way, you know.
Speaking of merchandise, do you have any really creative merchandise that you'd like to talk about right now or anything, awesome. Anything that you want to plug real quick on your merchandise? Because look, for those folks that don't know, that's a really great way to make revenue for independent pro wrestlers. So go ahead and tell us all about your merch.
Yeah, so I'm actually in the process of going to another online merch distributor. So right now, if you DM me on social media, that is how we can set that up, at least for the next 2 weeks or so until I get things settled up. And I will make a post about which merch distributor online distributor I choose to use. I've narrowed it down to like 3. So I'm just seeing how I can get the best setup. So right now on my social media, I will have all the information and things like that. I do have, I don't know what I can say just yet, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, but I do have a new t-shirt design coming out in the next 2 weeks. That is what I will say. And there will be some fun new gadgets that we'll be able to have some fun with. So be on the lookout for those. It'll be very, very interesting.
I'm going to take this next question back to our beginning of our conversation. Yes. The other young lady at Vans that was training to be a wrestler.
Yes.
Did she complete her training? She's out there? Or did you kind of lose touch or what?
She did not. She really? She maybe split off maybe about 4 months later, actually. Okay. Strangely enough. So I would have missed her.
Okay.
You know, had things, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You don't, you,
who knows?
Path A, yeah. Path A, path B. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Yeah. I definitely get it. Well, before we start plugging some social media outlets, since we talked about it, here in a minute. We have one final thing. It's a little game that we like to play here on the PVD cast. It's called Tag, Feud, or Job. So, Trish, if you will, I will explain to our listeners how this game is played. I have randomly, not really randomly, but I have picked three wrestlers, and I'm going to ask Trish to pick the wrestler that she would most like to tag with for, and when I say this is probably over like a span of a couple months, if you would. So tag with who she would like to feud with, who she would do the job to. Are you ready? And I'll just be honest, the one name has already popped up a few times. So I think that one is going to be a slam dunk for you. So here are the three individuals that you will tag, feud, and job with. Okay. We've talked quite a bit about her. One of the most tough, aggressive ladies that have ever put on a pair of boots, took part in many intergender matches, probably before that thing became popular. I'm talking, of course, about WWE Hall of Famer Jacqueline. The other candidates, and another staple of the women's division in the Attitude Era, one who seemingly came out of nowhere but became a very big, big superstar, Trish Stratus. And last but not least, since you trained with D-Von and Bubba Dudley, let's see what you would do in terms of tagging, feuding, or jobbing with Spike Dudley.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, these are cool now. Okay, wait, because I thought I knew what I was going to do, and with each one, no. You kind of...
That's all right. Take a few moments if you need a few moments.
Okay. That's interesting, too, because, if I tag with Jacqueline, we can have, like, matching gear. So, and I always thought her gear was so, like, beautiful and very, very elegant as well. I think we'd really be able to, like, crack some heads, honestly, if we tagged. And I want to feud with her, too. I kind of want to take some. I can't decide if I want to, like, help her give some or take some. Let's see. Spike. Ugh. See, he likes to get thrown around. That'd be great to just feud with him over some time. Have a couple hardcore matches. Throw him off something or something. A lot of things that aren't nailed down. Let's see. Then we got Trish Stratus. That's going to be great. It's going to be dope. To feud with. I'm debating whether I want to tag with Spike or whether I want to tag. You really threw. See, look. No, you're.
No, wait. I want the listeners to know. I asked in advance before we started recording. Do you want to know those three or not? That was your choice.
You sure did. See, I thought I'd be able to just rattle them. Okay. I think I can just rattle. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. I would tag with Jacqueline because we'd for sure make some history. We'd be like the first women's tag team champions or something like that or something. I'm assuming that we would be operating back in her time period.
Yes, that is correct. Yes. Okay. All three of these competitors are in their prime and in their particular heyday, so to speak.
Okay, perfect. And then, okay, then yeah, that'll do then. And then we'll do a Trish Stratus feud. That'll be fun. Might lead to a cute little WrestleMania moment. That'd be fun. And then I'd probably job to Spike. Yeah, because he'll do something like, he'll put like a dumpster over my head and just like whack it with it. Yeah, you can't withstand that. That hurts no matter what. Like, whoever told you that at some point does not hurt.
They're lying to you if they say that it doesn't hurt. All right. Yeah. That's solid. That's solid. I'm gonna give you a compliment, Trish. You are probably the first person ever playing this game that seemed to be stumped. I feel bad somewhat. Like, it was such a hard decision to make, John. I can't figure out what to do.
Right.
But you know what? That means that you were being thoughtful and you weren't just like half-assing it. You know, like it.
Definitely. I dug those options. Yeah, I thought I knew, and then it was a little trip up each time. That was cool. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's talk about social media. Where can folks get in touch with you?
Yes. TrishAdora202. That is on Instagram. That is on Twitter. I do have my Facebook. It is my athlete page, Around the Way Girl.
Okay.
And again, as you mentioned, you got merch coming in the next couple of weeks. If people are interested, DM you. You'll fill them in on all the details.
I was going to say, by the time this gets all set up, I might even have a contender. It just, you know, there's like three and we're kind of just trying to figure which way. So,
yeah, gotcha. And don't forget that you can catch more of Trish on Antonio Hernandez's documentary, Southside Suplex. It is available over on Antonio's YouTube page. Just go to YouTube, search for Southside Suplex. It pops right up. It's the first thing. Check it out. It's about 25 minutes, but it's really good. And Trish, yeah, yes, and yes. Trish is going to be there. She'll be on.
And I'll actually have the link to that in both of my bios for Instagram and Twitter. So if you find me there, I will keep those links there so you can immediately just go right to it.
There you go. All right, Trish Adora, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this was super cool. I appreciate it. I have a small amount of anxiety about, you know, speaking sometimes, but you definitely put me at ease. I felt particularly comfortable. Thanks so much. It was easy to talk to you, you know.
Cool. That's a compliment to me. I appreciate it. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Trish Adora, talking about her fandom, her start in professional wrestling, winning championship gold, doing some intergender wrestling, and even a very fun episode of Tag, Feud, or Job. Please check her out on social media. I know that she said she's got some new merch coming out, and by now it's probably out because we recorded this episode a few weeks ago, but Trish is certainly a fun person to chat with. As you heard, we had quite a few laughs, and you know, hopefully real soon you'll see her in a wrestling ring as soon as we get out of this silly pandemic that we're in. But I digress. Let's not beat a dead horse because we've been talking about that for months and months and months. So let's talk about something else where you can get in touch with me if you want to comment on this episode or any episode of the PVD Cast. Well, you could shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And you can leave me messages over on the Facebook page and the Instagram page of this podcast. Just search for @PVDcast. And of course, this podcast is available at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or through any of those major podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Pod Paradise. Just basically go to your favorite podcast platform. In the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, and it's sure to be there. And please don't forget to rate and review if you listen to an episode, because that helps me out tremendously in the algorithm of things. And make sure you hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And one final little note, once again, just a quick reminder that you can catch the PVDcast every Monday night live on Redline Radio LLC. Just go to redlineradiollc.com or find them on Facebook at Redline Radio LLC, or you can also download the Android phone app. Just go over to Google Play Store, look for the Redline Radio LLC app, download it, and you can take the station with you wherever you go. So for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank each and every one of you for listening, and I'll chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and most importantly, stay safe and healthy. Following has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.